Homily for the second Sunday in Advent. St. Mary's Church, Grand Forks, December 4th, 2022. If I were to use the word radical to describe someone, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? I guess it largely depends on whom I am asking. If I picture my parents and most of their friends as I was growing up, they would have given me a clear picture of a political or cultural stereotype, and a negative one at that. I don't mean that they were racist or prejudiced, rather they stuck by a tried and true way of life, steeped in religious values, patriotism, and family traditions. In their minds, a radical was a malcontent or a troublemaker, like the hippies at Woodstock. The etymology of the word radical is quite different. It comes from the Latin word meaning root. To be radical is to get to the fundamental nature, the root of something. Taken this way, being radical can be a positive and even necessary quality. Today we'll investigate how our readings spell out God's radical plan and encourage us to follow in his footsteps. St. John the Baptist preached through both his words and his conduct. He carefully chose all sorts of details, such as where he lived, how he dressed, and what he ate. We could say that he understood God's call for his life to be unconventional, even radical. God did not send John to run a general store on Main Street. Rather, John set up shop in a desolate spot, in the desert of Judea. This only heightened the interest of his fellow Israelites in his mission. John's methods harken back to the eccentric qualities of many of the prophets who preceded him, but his calling was truly unique. He alone, in human history, was the forerunner of the Messiah, preparing people for his coming. And the means of preparation that he offered was to examine the root of our very lives. Performing a baptism of repentance, John urged the people to call to mind their sins so that they could set them aside. Many of them knew that something was amiss in their lives and that they themselves could not fix the problem. They needed the Spirit of God to enkindle in their hearts the virtue of hope. They needed to see how God looks upon each of us as a masterpiece in his creation. We need to know that we have a merciful Father who will effortlessly sweep away our sins, no matter how heavy their burden feels to us. God sees that at the root of who we are is an immortal soul, not a collection of flaws and misdeeds. In today's gospel, St. John the Baptist is as animated as we ever see him. What was it about this group of Pharisees and Sadducees that caused him to read them the riot act? Their motives for being there were not pure-hearted. They styled themselves the religious experts of their day. They knew the law of Moses inside and out. They memorized its rules and regulations, not so much with a desire to grow in holiness as to exalt themselves by bludgeoning others when they got out of line. The Pharisees and Sadducees who showed up that day had no use for repentance. They came there simply to be seen. Unless they dropped their facade and opened their hearts to the message of Christ, the wounds at the root of their lives could not be healed. The tragedy is that these men preferred to appear righteous instead of humbling themselves and being reconciled to God. Radical is a good way to describe the imagery in our first reading from the prophet Isaiah. He begins with this phrase that, translated into English, becomes quite the tongue twister for our readers at Mass: "A shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse." Try saying that one fast. Who is Jesse, and why is he described as a stump? Jesse was the father of King David. Out of all the pious Jewish families at the time, God sent the prophet Samuel to his home in Bethlehem, with the instruction to anoint the king of Israel from among his sons. Sadly, we never are introduced to Jesse's wife, who must have been a remarkable believer like her husband. We know they had at least 8 sons. Jesse was certain one of his older 7 would be Samuel's choice. To everyone's surprise, God was calling his youngest son David. In addition to David's accomplishments, there is no indication in the scriptures that Jesse or his immediate family ever strayed from the worship of God. The moral of the story is this: when the son of David, the Messiah, comes into the world, he will change everything. He will open up to us a whole new destiny. He will model for us a radical new way of life. His salvation will turn everything upside down and cause us to stand out in the world. Think of those old nature documentaries that the Discovery Channel used to air of animals in the wild. If a hungry wolf spotted a lamb wandering by itself, we know very well what the wolf would do. It wouldn't matter if the most virtuous and fairest person served as the king or president in that country. Predators will do what they do. It's hard to conceive of a more drastic example than these vignettes of animals that regard those above them on the food chain with an instinctual fear, suddenly dwelling peaceably with them. These analogies from Isaiah bring up some basic questions. What is the body of Christ supposed to look like? The first generations of Christians sought to conform their whole lives to Christ, and many of them were willing to lay down their lives rather than to abandon the Lord and his teachings. A whole lot of their pagan friends and neighbors were paying attention and telling themselves, "I'm unhappy. I feel like I'm on a dead-end street. I want what they have." Their lives seemed to be on a different trajectory than mine. Who are the martyrs of 2022? And where are they to be found? Have the followers of Jesus, whether Catholic, evangelical, or whatever else, assimilated so completely with the groupthink of the society in which they live that they no longer stand out from the crowd? Does the rest of the world see in us an alternative way of life, separate from the way they go about their business? Are our priorities and dreams a 180-degree turn from their point of view? Or have we become so afraid of being called radical that we endorse pretty much anything so that we will not be judged or harassed? Is sticking our necks out the greatest sin we could commit? God offers us the grace in the season of Advent to grow in our yearning for his presence and to keep watch. The goal is to prefer nothing or no one to his love and to be authentically who God made us to be, as clay in the potter's hands. Maybe a century ago we would have been the majority here in town, boring and square, but not so anymore. We who love Christ unapologetically and who boldly stand with the teachings of his church are the radicals of our day. And it drives the devil crazy. Amen.